Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's a Tuesday. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles, which has found the sun again, on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you today?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. Peter King, later this hour, he's got all sorts of stuff on the Patriots. Want to start the show today with a general rule in life. Don't overreact to stuff. As a parent, don't overreact to stuff. As a friend, as a husband, as a dad, don't overreact to stuff. Okay, like if your teenage daughter in the summer comes home like 45 minutes after curfew, I'm going to ground her for the summer. Oh, chill out. She's a teenager. What were you smoking when you were a teenager? What were you drinking when you were a teenager? Don't overreact. Sit her down, communicate, move on. You see it in sports all the time. Major League Baseball grants the World Series home field advantage to whoever wins the All-Star game. What? They did that because there was a tie in an All-Star game. And they just couldn't get over the fact it was a tie in an All-Star game. Who cares? Who cares? Home field advantage in the World Series should go to the best team over 162 games. They earned it. You see this in college football. Ohio State left out of the playoff. Georgia left out of the playoff. We're going to have an eight-team playoff. Really? Then you see Notre Dame get rolled and you think, maybe we should just have a two-game playoff. Don't overreact. Don't overreact. Now the NFL is saying, and I think they're doing this because they knew a lawsuit was coming from the Saints having their own little pity party. The NFL plans to study making pass interference reviewable. Why? Because they had a bad call in a game? By the way, that wasn't called pass interference. So now you're going to allow coaches on plays that aren't called to say, you know, across the field, I thought there was a pass interference. It wasn't called. Yeah, I know, but I want to review it. This wasn't called anything. What are you reviewing? It was a non-call. So you're going to allow coaches now the ability throughout the course of a game to just demand, I see something I think I saw on the other side of the field that should have been pass interference, and I... Folks, referee whiffed happens all the time. There are now pictures all over the internet of six calls against the Saints that weren't called. But this is recency bias. In psychology, that's what they call it. You remember the last bad call. That one cost you the game. Listen, if you watched football all season long, what was the one complaint about the NFL? Okay, they got the catch thing right. The one knock on the NFL all season was, man, there's too many flags. All season. Every Monday I'd show up. That's what everybody complained about. Me included. So the NFL, and they've done this through their history, made a conscious decision this weekend. We're not calling anything. There were face masking penalties twice on the Saints. Never called. Rams cornerbacks were hyper aggressive. There were a couple pass interference calls in the Rams in the first half. Never called. There was a Saints player stepped on a Rams player. Never called. These officials didn't call anything this weekend because they listened to you, the fans. You and the NFL's been doing this for years. You got tired of the catch situation. They changed it. Right in the middle of a season. Super Bowl. We're going to change it. Catches count now. So they listen to you, and you're this morning waking up in New Orleans. The league's got it out for us. Give me a break. Kansas City, New England was the highest rated AFC game or second highest rated AFC championship game in 42 years. Want to know a reason why? There was almost no penalties in the first three quarters. It was a good game. It wasn't that good. I mean, the game wasn't that good. Why'd it get the rating? Because the flow was good. No penalties, only five through three quarters. That's why the NFL is king. Major League Baseball is rigid. The NBA takes a while to figure stuff out. NFL will change stuff overnight. And they did. They told their officiating crews, don't call anything. They didn't, and they butchered one call. Let the Saints have their pity party. Let the Saints laughably talk about integrity. Yeah, this is the Bounty Gate franchise. This is the franchise that had to basically suspend the coach, the GM, multiple players, assistants, because they had bounties out on people. But hey, my bad. The Saints can claim the NFL has no integrity. Like New Orleans. Really? Integrity? You want to go there? Okay. All right. Don't overreact. Stuff happens. Teenagers make mistakes. Baseball all-star games end in a tie. Sometimes in a college football playoff, a team should get in, doesn't. It happens. And referees whiff. Should be noted, you can find all over the internet this morning multiple penalties on the Saints that weren't called. Two face masking, and in the red zone, the Saints got a playoff after the clock had expired. That was never called either. Nick Wright made a great point earlier why the league should not overreact and now start making pass interference reviewable.
What they're talking about here is making penalties that were not called reviewable. Mm-hmm. Okay. Enjoy every big touchdown, the most exciting plays in NFL games, big touchdowns late, for that to be an auto challenge. If you have a guy whose job, and a smart team would, to look for any infraction on every play, then any big play you will challenge if it's big enough.
Disaster. Saints, you lost. Get over it. Mistakes happen. All right, let me shift gears to this. My job, mostly as a sportscaster, is to watch sports and give you the answers. Why did blank happen? That's my job. 75% of my job is to watch sports and react to it. You tune in every day. What did Colin think about that? Okay, now 25% of my job is to theorize on what's going to happen next, predict what's going to happen next, tell you who's going to win this game. But a big chunk of my job is to watch sports and give you answers. And there was one story all NFL season, I even joked about it, I couldn't figure it out. It was the unsolved mystery of the NFL. How the hell is Nick Foles better with the Philadelphia Eagles than Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz is a way better player. It was our unsolved mystery.
It makes no sense. Nick Foles appears from nowhere as a career backup. And in must-win games, he's 7-1. MVP of the Super Bowl for a career backup, who was the sixth best quarterback in his own conference his final year in college. It makes no sense. Well, folks, the unsolved mystery. This morning, it got solved.
According to various players and sources within the organization, Carson Wentz, quote, selfish, didn't run many of the concepts because he felt that was, quote, Foles stuff. Ah. So a month ago I said on this show, I said the only thing I knew about the Foles-Wentz thing was that I was told that Foles was more reliant on coaching, less talented guy, that makes sense, easier to coach. And I said a month ago, Wentz was a little tougher to coach because like anybody that's really talented, Cam, Rodgers, Wentz, they're more reliant often on themselves and a little bit less reliant on coaching. That's all I knew. And today it's been confirmed. Foles is easier for the staff to coach. And that, by the way, this is a very human thing. And I don't want to see everybody bang on Carson Wentz. Folks, this is what would happen with anybody in that situation. Tom Brady, an absolute legend, with not only a trophy case, probably has a trophy room or two, his ninth Super Bowl, he felt somewhat threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo, who won a single game. And Garoppolo got traded for an end table. And that's Tom Brady. If you're a star or a top draft pick and you get hurt and your understudy comes in and wins a Super Bowl, it's incredibly human for you to kind of bristle when you come back and say, I want to run my plays. I want to run his plays. Carson Wentz is just like anybody. Hell, Brady, according to various reports, didn't love the fact that his understudy was right behind him. Didn't want him there. So, you know, the story, by the way, says that Carson Wentz plays favorites. Do you see who supported him in the story? Zach Ertz. When Zach Ertz and Wentz are together, they're like, you know, bosom buddies. They're buddies. That's who he throws to. Not a shock, the one guy that supported him in the story and said it's not true is Zach Ertz, his favorite target. So, yes, this is sort of what I was told about a month ago. Now, there's much more severe quotes. He's arrogant. He's selfish. The story also said he's an incredibly hard worker. He's brilliantly talented, and a lot of people like him, but he's harder to coach. So, to be honest with you, the only thing that would be surprising is if there wasn't a little tension in the room. Star gets drafted. Star gets hurt. Understudy comes in, gives the city its first Super Bowl, and you don't think the star's going to have a little ruffled feathers? Of course he is. And there is no moral to the story other than Carson Wentz is human. And how do you solve this story? Very easily. Smart teams do this all the time. You trade Nick Foles, and there's a sucker out there that's going to overpay him and give you more players than he's worth. Carson Wentz is clearly the future. Carson Wentz is clearly more talented. Carson Wentz is absolutely who you should build around. And Nick Foles, there's a sucker every minute. We'll pay him a fortune, trade multiple players, and Philadelphia will do what New England does, what the good teams in this league do. Manipulate the suckers. I mean, isn't that what New England's done for years? You ever notice how often New England trades with Cleveland and Buffalo? Ever notice that? You ever notice they don't trade with like Philadelphia, the smart teams, very much? New England, this is what they always say about great baseball hitters. Great baseball hitters don't hit the aces. They hit the three-starter and the four-starter and the middle relievers. New England and Philadelphia are two of the best-run organizations in football. And they're going to make trades for years and years with poorly run teams like Detroit. You know, like with Cleveland, like with Buffalo. So this is an easy problem to solve. Move out of the Nick Foles business. Trade him for somebody. Get some pieces. Draft another quarterback to back up Carson Wentz. It's all good. But the only surprise here would be this didn't happen. If Brady and Garoppolo had tension and he played a game and a half, you don't think Nick Foles getting Philadelphia's first Super Bowl? That's not going to create a little tension? Of course it is. So John, our unsolved mystery... The unsolved NFL mystery of this year, Joy Taylor, it's been solved.
We've been trying to figure it out all year.
And we figured it out. Story.
Well, it's. I mean, it is reports, you know.
It makes no sense. That's a bad Robert Stack impression.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I've said before when it comes to the media, people talk about the media having a bias. I don't worry about the fans having a bias. Fan is short for fanatic. I don't hold the fans to the same level that I do the media. Fans are crazy. That's what makes sports great. The crazier the fans, the goofier the fans, the more delusional the fans, the more myopic the fans. That's what they have in Europe with soccer. That's what they have in America with football. That's what they have in Canada with hockey. That's what makes sports great. We don't ask you, the fans, to be above bias and agendas. We get it. You are. But the media in my life has gotten more agenda-driven. It used to be you had newspapers, veteran reporters. Now you got bloggers. Half of them are just fans. I mean, you can't even, honestly, half the people who are in the media today, you couldn't give a press credential to a legitimate event. And what I've noticed is the bias, I'm going to say this, against New England. America's most popular sport is the NFL. It's not even close. It's not even close. So more people are emotionally vested with football than ever. And now you have legalized gambling in America, sports gambling. So now people are financially invested in games, just going to get worse. But here's a story that is getting no coverage. And it would get massive coverage if it happened in Foxborough. Tom Brady against Kansas City throughout the game, there was a laser. These are illegal if you did this to a pilot. It's a federal crime. He had these lasers being pointed at his face during the game. There's multiple videos. Now, it's not the end of the world, but can you imagine the media coverage if this happened to Patrick Mahomes in Foxborough? It would lead every network. It is literally not being covered. It is a non-story except our show. Nobody's talking about this. Proving once again the agenda and bias against New England. They have created such resentment because they've earned, they have the best coach, they have the best quarterback. I mean, ask yourself when you watch Kansas City.
Let's hold on. The Patriots have their short list.
Okay,
of
so let's
incidents.
Go. I'm glad you bring up Deflategate, which, by the way, with Blake Bortles or Ryan Tannehill would be a one day story.
And the other thing?
Yes, they taped practice, which everybody does, but they came out.
But they got caught.
Well, everybody tapes. Every team tapes the other team during games. The Patriots went, why can't we tape the sidelines and match it with the plays, which you're not allowed to do, although it wasn't written down that it was illegal. But the league said, we don't like that you're doing it, because they were one step ahead. Deflategate, it should be noted, the Patriots have been better, and Brady's been better post-Deflategate. So it became a two-year, and at the end it sounded like a witch hunt. Blake Bortles, that's a one-day story. Kirk Cousins, it's a one-day story. Ryan Tannehill, it's a one-day story. Teddy Bridgewater, it's non-story. So every Patriot story starts from an unhealthy place. They're guilty! New England's guilty! This story, if it was in Foxborough, and that was Patrick Mahomes, it would lead every single blog, newspaper, sports network. Nobody's talking about it. Now, I don't think it's the end of the world, and I don't blame the Kansas City Chiefs, because it's just some random idiot person. I'm not blaming anybody here. It's just somebody with really, really, really bad judgment. But if it was reversed, it proves a point, is that every story with New England now comes, the starting point is they're guilty.
You're 100% right. If this was the Patriots, it would be Lasergate.
It would be Lasergate. It would have gate.
It would be Lasergate. It was Spygate, Deflategate, and this would be Lasergate.
So we're getting to a point now that their superiority has created an agenda, a bias, and a resentment that's not even healthy anymore. That's not even fair. Again, when Deflategate came out, I was very critical of New England. And then I started noticing Brady was better post Deflategate. New England's dynasty's been stronger post-Deflategate. It had zero to do with anything, but lasted 2 years. So it is interesting. The media's bias, by the way, is not just in what they say. It's in what they cover. The media decides every day what story to cover. They suppress stories that make their side look bad. They elevate stories that make their opinion seem more valid. This would be a huge story if you reverse quarterbacks and reverse locations.
Hi, it's The Herd. Almost half of Americans make a New Year's resolution every single year. One resolution worth sticking to this year, keeping your home and your family safe. That's why I recommend Simply Safe Home Security. Now is the time to act and protect your home and your assets with Simply Safe Home Security. With Simply Safe, there's no contract, ever. There's no price markup from any middleman. There's no installation window. Most importantly, their system is engineered to do one thing brilliantly. Protect. If a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. Intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. Somebody destroys your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. 24/7 home security, no contracts or catches. PC Magazine named Simply Safe both editor's choice and reader's choice for 2018. Just go to simplysafe.com/herd. Protect your home, assets, and family today. simplysafe.com/herd. simplysafe.com/herd.
I'm going to say something, and I think we all know this to be true. I want everybody to personalize what I'm going to say. If somebody tells you, if you're listening in a car watching me on TV, you're not very good, you're overrated, you'll never be successful, doesn't that make you want to work harder? Does for me. You'll never make it. You don't have the voice. You don't have this. You don't have that. When you tell people or criticize people, most people react the same way. Oh, I'll prove you wrong. I won't speak for Joy, but I think you probably have a little of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a few people told me I couldn't make it.
That's right. Same here.
It's pretty much all of Twitter.
Okay. So that's a driving force. Criticism is an ally. It's not an enemy. Criticism is your friend for driven people. And to be a professional athlete in the NFL, these guys are pretty driven. They're not weak. They've been told no, too short, too slow, too fat, not athletic enough. Of course, the centerpiece of that would be Tom Brady. Still has a chip on his shoulder all these years. But I saw a story this morning that said Belichick and Tom Brady, all that stuff was just gossip, and I don't believe that to be true. I think they had a little off-season Garoppolo issue. But here's what I know is true with the New England Patriots. I know it's true with Belichick, and I know it's true with Brady because I have video proof that they used the media to galvanize. That they watch the media, they watch the show, they watch the other place, they watch and listen to WEEI, and they use those clips as motivation. Remember what Tom Brady said after losing to the Chargers? Remember this?
You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Well, who said that? The media. Nobody in Boston has said that. And then after the game against the Chiefs, and this will be harder for radio, easier for TV, did you hear the first thing Brady said when he went to congratulate, seconds after the game, Julian Edelman?
You're too old. I'm too old. You're too slow. We got no skill players. We got no defense. We got nothing. Unreal, bro.
Those are Chris Hogan, excuse me. Those are direct quotes from this show, the other place, from the media. They hear them and they use them. Folks, they hear everything. Aaron Rodgers hears everything. Kevin Durant hears everything. LeBron hears everything. Tom Brady, if he doesn't hear it directly, gets it fed to him. They hear everything. I've never understood why fans don't get this. Guys like me ripping your team, I'm your friend. Your team will use it as motivation. The Cleveland Browns are the worst-run franchise in the league, and they have the most offensive fans because their fans, like their team, don't get it. Ripping Baker Mayfield doesn't hurt him. It motivates him. Ripping the Browns doesn't hurt him. It motivates him. The New England Patriots, 18 years, 9 Super Bowls. They are able to use the media regularly, use the media to convince themselves, nobody thinks we're any good. Do you know how ridiculous that is? That's like the royal family in England saying, we're poor and have no leverage. We've got no power in our country, but we're the royal family. Just trust me on this. Nobody can do anything. And it's a ridiculous idea that the Patriots are doubted. And the only people who doubt them are us, the media. And they use it brilliantly to their advantage. Cleveland, a dumpster fire of a franchise, bristles, angry if you criticize anything. They don't get it. Use us. Criticism in life is not an enemy. It is an ally. James Harrison played with the Steelers for years. Then he went to play with New England. He said he couldn't believe how often the underdog stuff, using media clips. You saw Tom versus Time, right? Where they spliced in criticism throughout the whole thing. Harrison talked about in New England.
I was like you. I'm, you know, like, this is phony. Everybody against New England, all that, this and... But it's real. Like, I have no problem with this. Mm-hmm. You know, they really believe that. They feel that. I felt that. I was only there for 6 weeks, and I'm like, yeah, it's New England versus everybody. Everybody hates us. Nobody loves us but New England. And when you buy into that, like he said, you getting those 10 guys that really... To buy into that, you go out there and you give everything you got. Like, you really believe that it's New England, it's us versus everybody.
Let me shift to this. The team that didn't make the Super Bowl and thinks they got robbed, the Saints. Their owner, the Benson family, a family for years sort of shrouded in mystery and gossip and rumors. I won't get into that. Gail Benson came out and said the NFL must commit to providing fairness and integrity. Oh, wait, time out. Oh. New Orleans talking about integrity? Okay. Oh, right. Let me get this straight. This is the Bounty Gate franchise. The league had to suspend the coach. Belichick's never been suspended. They had to suspend the defensive coordinator. Had to suspend players. Had to suspend their general manager for lacking, what was the word again, Gail? Integrity. Yes, when I think of New Orleans, I think of a integrous city. Actually, I think of a party city. When I think of the Benson family, I think a lot of things. But when I think of the Saints, it's a great story. It's a great team. But this is the Bounty Gate team. You're going to lecture us on integrity? Oh, that's adorable. Integrity. Your GM was suspended. Your coach was suspended. Over a year. Players suspended. League had to step in. You were paying players to hurt other players. Lacking complete integrity. Thanks for lecturing us. By the way, that pass interference call, it should be noted, there's very few pass interference calls on running plays, New Orleans. You may have wanted to run the ball in that situation. Kind of a clock issue. But not to be snarky, there is a massive gap between missing a call, which the official did, and integrity. I make mistakes all the time on this show, but I don't go out to make the mistake. The word integrity is very personal. The NFL, you're saying, could have, for the record, moved your franchise. They did not. They had integrity and honor and loyalty to the city of New Orleans, which post-Katrina was really in a rebuild mode. They could have never allowed Sean Payton back in the league, Greg Williams. And they did because they have integrity. They didn't overreact, although they were furious. Just be careful about New Orleans and Gail Benson and the Saints and their fans screaming and protesting over integrity, Bounty Gate team. Now, call was missed. Calls get missed. Crappy call. Didn't help you. That we can agree on. Nobody here is disputing it was a good call. I think there's a great deal of recency bias. The last big call's the one that lost it for us. It wouldn't be that the Saints in the red zone early in the first quarter, there was zero on the clock and were allowed to snap the ball and score. That isn't being talked about. Of the two face masking penalties, one would have set up first and goal for the Rams, giving them a 24-20 lead. That, of course, isn't talked about as well. But I'm going to push back a little on the integrity thing, Saints.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a finalist. He was at the NFC title game. He will cry, by the way, when he is elected into the Hall of Fame. He's acknowledged that. You're not a fake tough guy. You cry a lot.
I do, occasionally. When it's I let it go whenever it feels right.
You just let it go.
I don't mind.
Neither do I.
Are like, or they hold it back.
Don't do that.
It's
not healthy.
Feels good.
You have been a very, you have created new health factors in my life. I now take a cold shower in the morning because of Tony Gonzalez. No, it's a true story. So Tony told me one time off the air, he said, I take like a minute cold shower before I turn the heat up. And so that's why my wife hears me screaming at 5:15 every morning.
It's good for your joints.
Good for your hair.
Good for your cardiovascular system. It's good for everything.
Stress. Yeah. And so if Tony and I are aligned that way. We're both taking a cold shower. Me at 5 in the morning and him at 10 when he gets up.
When I get up.
Yep. And so let's, you know, it's interesting. Everybody's, you were at the NFC title game. Everybody's freaking out, and I know it was a bad call, but I would like to say this. Everybody is outraged that Tom Brady got the ball in overtime, and Kansas City didn't get a chance to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair, yet nobody is acknowledging that the Saints got the ball first in overtime, and that terribly unfair thing, after that crappy call, they got that unfair, and they could have driven down the field, and Jared Goff could have never touched the ball, but they threw a pick. And the Rams got it and won the game because I believe the Rams were a better team. That's why I picked them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can't tell me in Kansas City the overtime is outrageous because the rule is it doesn't have to be both teams because the Saints had the same advantage and didn't get it. So even though the call was crappy, they still were at home and got the ball first in overtime and butchered it.
Yeah.
So I don't feel a great deal of sympathy, but you do.
You don't have sympathy?
Win the game.
Win the game. I know win the game, but at the same time, we were there on the sideline. It's not a bad call. It's not a bad call. That is a horrendous call. That is the worst call that I've ever seen in NFL history because of the implications of it. It's devastating. And it's something I've lost in the NFC Championship game. And to know that the game is over right there, because they get the ball, first down, game is over, kick the extra 3 points or whatever, and the game's over. They're going to the Super Bowl, and they should have been called. How do you get over
that? By the way, how do you know they don't have a first down, and how do you know that they don't score on the first play, Rams get it back with a minute and a half and go back and score?
Because you don't throw, you run the ball. You actually sit on the knee.
That's what you think you would do, but Sean Payton's 4 plays earlier passed the ball on first down instead of running it.
They butchered a lot of stuff, but it's still in the end, they should have had that. I mean,
Who did you feel was a better team?
I picked the Rams to win.
Yeah, I know you did.
I picked the Rams
to
win.
So did I. And you picked them the same reason I did.
Yes, but looking at that game, I mean, the Saints were dominating that whole first half, obviously. And it looked, I don't know, I still feel like the Saints were a better football team.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do.
So you don't think
Rams are a great team. After watching that game, I picked the Rams. But I think the Saints, they did enough. They should have won. They should have won that game.
And by the way, Sean Payton did some weird coaching stuff late.
He did.
It's funny about these young hotshot coaches. You know, it's funny, Tony, my whole life, I remember watching like football shows. And one of the golden rules was take points. Mm-hmm. This isn't the NBA. It's not 1-12. Take points. It's funny that all these hotshot coaches now are like, we're so obsessed by getting a touchdown over a field goal. Sean McVay late in that game said, No, I'm going to take a field goal. I want guaranteed points. I'm going to trust my defense.
Yeah.
I thought Sean Payton butchered at the end, throwing the ball on first down and ostensibly giving the Rams an opportunity to win the game. I could not believe that.
I didn't understand it. The only thing that you could think why he would do that, because he's thinking ahead. He's probably thinking, all right, Wade, on the other, the defensive coordinator, is saying, yeah, they're gonna run the ball here, so I'm going to catch them off guard, and I'm going to throw a quick slant, safe pass. Ball didn't come out that good. That was kind of a Drew Brees.
No, it was.
And you think that you could be able to complete that. So I would say with a all-pro wide receiver and an all-pro quarterback that you can make that happen. I understand why you did it. I wouldn't have done it, though. I would have said just run the ball. Be conservative. Why not?
You know, something that impressed me in this game is that I said this a week ago and people just went, whoa! And I said, of all the young quarterbacks, Mahomes, Watson, Carson Wentz, Dak. There's only one that reminds me of Brady, and it's Jared Goff. California, tall, thin, kind of gawky early, doesn't look physically like he's ready, incredibly coachable, very good athlete. I mean, Goff was a number one pick. Brady was drafted in baseball. Stable, solid, supportive family. Pretty low ego considering their success. Good looking California kids who both inherit a genius head coach.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa. And I'm like, you do get that Goff actually at this stage is probably more talented than Brady was in year three.
Yeah.
You sat and watched Goff. I thought Goff outplayed Brees. I really did late in the game. I thought he outplayed him.
He played really well. And he wasn't playing that well coming into the game. He wasn't.
Right.
But I thought he played really well. And you know what? I like that. I'll agree with you there, Colin. Because if you look back at Tom Brady's stats, not even until year maybe 7 or 8, he had been winning Super Bowls, but he wasn't even going to the Pro Bowl. That means he wasn't even a top 3 quarterback in his conference.
They were a defensive-led team with guys like Curtis Martin, Corey Dillon.
Yep.
They were coaching defense and running games.
And he wasn't putting up these unbelievable numbers. I mean, Jared, he's putting up good numbers. He was in the MVP race this year. And then Cooper Kupp got hurt and things fell off a little bit. But yeah, I think with Sean McVay going forward, you could look at these guys. I think Andy Reid and Mahomes. I think those two coaching combination, quarterback combinations are going to be around for a long time. They're going to be very, very good.
Yeah. You like the way Goff throws the ball. That Brandon Cooks throw, that's as big a play as the NFL had this year.
He can throw the ball.
That he really can. Some guys, Tony, you Cal guys, some guys are just great throwers of the football. It's like Dak, you've said this. It just doesn't look natural.
No.
Andy Dalton doesn't. Some guys, it looks clunky. Goff, it's just Matt Ryan's like this. It's velvet.
Yeah,
it
looks great.
Looks great. It's smooth. All right, so New England, it would be, you know, it's funny. You, and I knew this when you played, I'd bring you on my show at the other place, and we always talked about nutrition and body extending your career. I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks I've watched Brady, Tony, I like even Kobe Bryant at the end. He was great, but you're like not the same guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I looked at Tom the last 2 weeks. He was a wizard.
Looks great.
Looks great. That game against the Chargers, I was like, I've never seen him this accurate.
Yeah.
His velocity's great.
Yeah. It's like, does he wait to turn it on until the playoffs? Is he bored? I love Tom. I really, really do. But I will say this. If D Ford doesn't line up in the backfield on that, something Pop Warner, just be on your side of the ball. That game is over. And Tom threw kind of a wobbly pass there behind, and it was picked off. And now we're sitting here going, three interceptions, one touchdown, and you lost in that game. You might be, the narrative would be a lot different about Tom Brady. But you cannot give an assassin like that. You can't. Michael Jordan, he's not going to miss too many shots in that fourth quarter or in overtime.
Yeah.
And Tom, you gave him a second chance, and he came back like you knew he would. As soon as that was, I was like, it's over. It's over. Here comes Tom Brady. He's so good. The whole New England organization, people try to hate on them because they win. It's the same reason I talk about Duke basketball. People don't like Duke basketball. Why? Because they win, because they graduate their players, because they have good guys. That's what the New England Patriots are. People try to paint this picture that they're the evil empire, and they're not. They're a bunch of good guys. Gronkowski's a good guy. Tom Brady is a good dude. Bill Belichick, I think, is a good guy. He loves football, and that's probably – I don't know what else – and his family. But there's nothing – I don't know why people are always trying to look at them as this evil empire.
I think it's resentment, and I do think Joy said this earlier – is Spygate, Deflategate. You know, there was a piece of video during the game in Kansas City. There was a laser multiple times on Tom Brady, which, by the way, if you did that to a pilot in a plane, you'd break a federal law.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't do that. If that was, here's the tape, if that was in Foxborough and that was Mahomes,
yeah,
it would be called Lasergate. That's what Joy said earlier. She's right. But instead, yeah, there's so much resentment for New England because of their success.
Yeah.
I think we're the only show that's talked about this. Nobody's even talked about this. So I think, to your point, greatness creates animosity.
Yeah.
And jealousy and resentment. It does in sports, it does in life.
Yeah. Yeah, and talking about cheating a little bit, first of all, every organization out there cheat. That's ridiculous, obviously. And I'm a Kansas City, obviously, yeah, you know,
I don't think the organization had nothing to do with that. Just a goofy fan.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the stuff, people talk about Spygate, people talk about Deflategate, they talk about all that stuff. I mean, this is normal. Have you ever cheated on a test?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you've cheated. You've copied homework.
Oh, I mean, a million times.
You go out, you get hungover, you're going to take an Advil the next day?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little cheating, maybe. Or, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But performance enhancing. My point is with New England, they are the epitome of how to build an organization. No ego. They have guys. If Bill Belichick thinks you're a bad guy or cancer, you're out of there. Antonio Brown would never, and I'm not saying he is a cancer because I don't play with him, but Antonio Brown is not going to play for the New England Patriots. What Tom Brady has done, he's taken less money. We've talked about that before. If you're building an organization, my first pick overall in NFL history, I'm going to take Tom Brady. If it's one game, I'll take Peyton Manning. But I'm taking Tom Brady just because he has no ego. He'll take the 5-yard out. He'll take that all the way down the field. He'll hand the ball off 50 times. He doesn't care. That is what makes this organization so good. It's what makes Duke so good. They have no ego and no amigos.
Ego has no amigo.
Ego has no amigo. And this is what they do. They win because of that. And this is why I love the New England Patriots for that reason.
Well,
this is why they're successful.
The media historically, and this is probably a healthy thing, it's probably healthy that our comedians are mostly liberal and they pick on powerful people. That's funnier. It's funnier to pick on the rich guy than the poor guy, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably better that the comedians tend to lean left. They stand up for the little guy, they rip the presidents, and they rip powerful corporations. It's also probably a very good thing that the media historically goes after governments, corporations, rich people. And so I don't think it's unhealthy looking at the Patriots and being on them, being mm-hmm. tough, and being, because they are the powerful. But I do think that's a component to the New England coverage, is that the media is going, they're just waiting for the Patriots to make a mistake. That laser story, if it was in Foxborough, oh, the media would come pouring in.
Outraged. Got to replay the game. We got to replay the game.
And I do think New Orleans, one of the reasons that people are ticked is because Los Angeles, gigantic palm trees, little New Orleans got kept out of the Super Bowl. New Orleans is much more likable than the Rams. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is much more huggable than the Patriots. So this weekend, everybody's like, the Chiefs got robbed, the Saints got... I just think there's a reason success creates resentment.
Yeah. And it's that's a sad thing, too. Not everybody, too. Everybody out there listening, too. It's not, we're not talking about everybody, but there are people out there. It's same. It's Twitter. It's everything. We're going to talk about the person on top. And if you are that one, you probably have a little envy in you, a little jealousy going on inside you. And I think that's exactly what's going on here, with especially with New England, especially even more so than L.A. But the New nobody people are tired of them. You're tired of them being so good.
By the way, the rating for the Chiefs-Patriots game was the second highest AFC championship rating ever. So as everybody tells you they're sick of the Patriots, they got the second highest AFC championship rating in 40 years. People tell you they hate Duke. The minute Duke gets bounced out of the tournament, the ratings go down.
Yeah.
People tell you they love to work out and eat right. Go to a mall, look around. Uh-huh. What people say isn't what people do. I hate the Patriots. I hate Duke. I hate the Yankees. It's like, not really.
Yeah.
You watch them.
And don't think you don't cheat either. Everybody cheats.
I want to talk about that.
Everybody cheats.
So in Atlanta, Kansas City, everybody's cheating a little.
Everybody. You talk about diets. Oh, I'm on a diet. They even have a thing called cheat day. I have a cheat. You have a day designated to cheat.
When you're on a diet.
And when you're on a diet. I'm going to, you know, today I'm just going to.
So every NFL team you've been on is pushing the envelope.
Every NFL team pushes the envelope. I can't give stories, but but absolutely. I mean, you see it all the time. All the time. I mean, Atlanta got busted for pumping noise. You hear about Seattle pumping noise into that.
That's Adderall. Cheating. Seattle had Adderall issues.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean,
Kansas City's using a laser. By the way, those whistles inside the Superdome.
Well, you heard. Hey, what?
There weren't whistles.
What was that?
It was,
aggravating.
It was one guy.
That is. Well, you weren't
it
aggravated.
Was one guy. It actually did not bother me, so maybe my ears don't pick up that tone or something. Swear, it didn't bother me.
Did you hear all the whistling in the stadium?
It was one guy.
How about remove that?
Whistle Monster. He's a fan.
Oh, Whistle Monster.
He doesn't have a whistle. He does the, like, thing. I can't do it.
You know, how about throw a Whistle Monster out of here?
Yeah, get out of here.
Out of here. Whistle.
Where's the whistle head thing? They show him all the time.
Okay. Right. If that was a Patriots.
Oh, Whistlegate.
I'm tired of it.
Poor Patriots just get picked on all the time.
They do.
Tony Gonzalez is going to cry pretty soon in Hall of Fame induction. I'll be there with you, buddy.